into this morning. It's been a few weeks since I've been here teaching on Ephesians. Gabe taught us through Ephesians 5, 1 through 7 2 weeks ago, and the last week we had our time for David and Candace. But so I was praying about this morning. Obviously, God knows our hearts better than we do. He knows the needs. He knows who's going to be in the room. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want everybody to look at me for just a second, because I'm going to tell you a picture I had this morning, and I'm actually going to try to move really quickly through some like review stuff, because I feel like God gave me a picture this morning I think is connected to where we went in worship, okay? So can you do that? So everybody hold on tight and look at me. So I saw a picture of a brick wall, and I remember several years ago, like I'm not a big fan of like the idea of like, oh, there's a spirit of breakthrough here, because sometimes that just means that people don't want to just walk through the stuff. And God showed me a picture of breakthrough where it just, you just keep swinging. I saw a picture of a guy with a big sledgehammer. He just kept swinging. But this week, I started talking about breakthrough again. I was praying for Katie, and I felt like God was saying that there was just a season of breakthrough for Katie. And I like at first, I was like, breakthrough, what does that mean? I kind of had a bad attitude about it, you know? And so I want to say that I think breakthrough does come by persistence, right? Does that make sense? But there comes a place where momentum also is a part of breakthrough. And this is the picture I saw this morning. I saw a picture of a brick wall, and I saw a picture of us, and we were kind of like ready to run and lean into that wall because it was like time to break through. Does that make sense? Right? So there's a place, you know, like you've seen it in movies where someone like tries to go and kick the door down and doesn't move. That's not the place we're talking about. But there's a place where with persistence, there's a place by God's Spirit that you don't have to just think, hey, it's going to be this way forever. And I sense this morning that as we talk about the last several, like as we build some momentum, I'm going to try to move fast through some of the things we've learned, through the therefores that we've already talked about, with the idea of let's lean in and expect for some breakthrough. Does that make sense? Okay. So I need you to hang tight with me. The whole thing about, you know, verbal processing, like sometimes, you know, on Sunday morning, the lights are low in here. It's just kind of chill. I'm just going to ask you to lean into this. It feels like everyone's really far away right now. So just like lean in and try to be as present as you can. No, it's not my goal to try to rush through this for the sake of being done quickly, but I would like for somebody to move through this quickly. And in order to do that in a way that feels good, I need to make sure you're with me. Does that make sense? All right, so let's lean in together into this. And as we've been talking about Ephesians and going verse by verse through Ephesians, going verse by verse, asking God to connect this into the idea of God, what is your heart for our identity, for sexuality, and for gender? We've been looking at Ephesians through the idea of a bridge to understand the heart for his body, for the body of Christ. So we've said all this is happening for the praise of his glory and for the hope of his promise. I was talking to Lacey, which I'm really trying to get them here because some of you guys don't know them, but they're an important part of our lives and they feel connected here. And she was saying one of the things that she's recognizing is the church has had such a opposite meaning of the word hope. We use the word hope like maybe it'll happen. But the biblical word for hope is certain expectation. So the fact is there's some promises that we don't have to hope or like maybe one day they might happen. No, there's an expectation. There's a certainty to it. And we keep leaning in. So as we get ready to lean in today, it's because we already have a promise. And we're going to read about it today. We're going to read about the promise, okay? So as we've gone through, you know, these first four chapters of Ephesians, we hit this place where Paul uses the word, hey, I say this to you. And that Greek word was I lego. I arrange this. I've laid all of this out for you so that you can know this. And that this week is where we're going to just kind of launch off of is these therefores. There's four therefores in scripture or in this passage we've been reading over. And we're just going to kind of use these as leverage. Okay. Are you ready? We're going to use these as leverage. Some of you are really distracted by the way I spelled therefore. I can see. I was looking at certain people. I know Katie Wester had one face and Lindsay had a different face. It was really fun. And Lynn's like, oh, cool, right? So we're going to live in these therefores. And we know, hey, coming out of chapter 3, we talked about the manifold wisdom of God, the multidimensional wisdom of God being put on display in the church, and the multidimensional love of God. So we're even like just using that momentum to come here. So let's hang real quick. In Ephesians 4, 1, he says, therefore, walk worthy. Say, walk worthy. And he laid out, hey, here's how you do this. You do this with lowliness. You do this with gentleness. You do this with long-suffering, bearing with each other in love and keeping unity. And he just says, hey, there's a way that we're called to walk. Because of his desire to put his wisdom on display, I was thinking about you this week, Mike. I was thinking about how when people walk up and see your photography, how they have this moment where they go, wow. And part of what they're wowing about is how you capture the photography, how you capture that moment. But they're also having a moment of like, wow, there's something bigger than just a picture there. That's part of putting on display the manifold wisdom of God, capturing that wow moment. And that's part of God's plan for us. It's part of his plan for us that we love deeply and live in a way the world goes, wow, that's different. That's different. Okay? So there's something about walking worthy that we want to build from. In chapter 4, verse 17, he says, hey, therefore, because of all these promises, because there's a promise that says the church can actually look like Jesus, because there's a promise that you can get in shape, the church can get in shape and be healthy and grow up. Hey, therefore, don't think like the world. Guys, this was really compelling to me. It was really impactful for me. And that's in verse 17 of chapter 4. He said, don't think like the world. Don't walk like the world. Why? Because it's empty and it's dark and it's alienated from the life of God. It's uninformed of the best. It's uninformed of his design. It's actually blind and it's given over. So we don't want to live that way, all right? So therefore, walk worthy. What does that mean? Hey, don't walk like the world. Do you know he actually has a heart for the world? It's not that he hates the world. He wants us to live differently for the world because he loves the world. Does that make sense? God wanting us not to walk like the world is not because he hates the world. It's because he loves them. But because he loves them, he wants us to give them a different option, right? And that's what we talked about. We actually broke it down a little bit more. And Paul said, hey, these are not the ways of Christ. If you want to know the ways of Christ, here's what that looks like. Put off the way you used to think. I know this was an impactful thing to me, and some of you have said that was impactful to you. This word put off does not mean like, hey, take it off and then hang it in your closet again. It's put off and put away. Put off and get it out like a dirty diaper. Take it off and then put it away. And be renewed in the midst of newness. Be formed in the midst of a completely blank slate. Be formed and then put on. And that word put on there is the word to put on in a way that changes things, the word endue. So put on Christ, all right? So we're saying, hey, what does this look like? We're going to walk, therefore, we're going to walk different than the world. Why? Because we're going to embrace the life of Christ. And that leads us to think like Christ. And in Ephesians 4:25, he lays out this stuff. He says, hey, put away lying because you belong to each other. The world can say don't lie, but Christ has got a different motivation. It's not just, hey, don't do, it's not a list of rules that say don't do the bad thing. It's say, understand, don't lie because you actually are invested in each other. And it's going to actually change and impact things. Be angry and sin not. Don't give the devil a place. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. Don't let anger be the thing that rules your life. Hey, you who stole, steal no more so you can work hard with your hands so you have something to share. Again, it's not just a law. Don't steal. It's a motivation. It says, hey, you can't be stealing and sharing at the same time. You're not Robin Hood. You're not called to walk like Robin Hood. You're called to follow Jesus. And he thinks differently. He says, watch your words. Don't let the things that come out of your mouth hurt you and hurt others. Watch what happens. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but put away bitterness and malice and all that junk. And that chapter concludes with a statement, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. So it starts out, hey, walk worthy and walk in humility. Walk in lowliness, walk in gentleness. And it ends with be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Forgiveness is a big deal. How many of you know that? Forgiveness is a big deal. If you won't forgive someone, it's gonna be really hard to walk tenderhearted to them. Have you ever tried to be tenderhearted with someone you're not willing to forgive? It's just not gonna happen. It's like there is a wall there, do not go there. I don't even know if I wanna forgive you. So these are these encouragements. These are these therefores. You guys tracking with me so far? Yes? All right. Last therefore. Fourth therefore. Therefore, and Gabe talked about this. I mentioned it briefly at the end of that week. Imitate God. Ephesians 5:1. What does that look like? Therefore, imitate God and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. As we get later in the chapter, we're going to hear those words again. We're going to hear him talking about how husbands have a responsibility to love their wives this way. But all of us are called to love each other in a way that looks like Jesus, in a way that looks like sacrifice. Therefore, imitate God. Man, if you put these things together, what it means to walk worthy means not thinking like the world, but thinking like Christ and becoming imitators of God and loving like he loved. Okay, you guys ready to go home? That's important, guys. If you got your Bibles open, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, and we're building up to, we're going to really focus on a few verses starting in verse 8, but guys, this is important here because in 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let not this even be named among you. Check this out. He says, there is this lifestyle of imitating God and loving like he loves. That is what you were wired for. That is what you were made for. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and filthiness and foolish talking and coarse jesting, not even named among you. Don't even let it come up. Don't even allow it to be mentioned among you. Why? Is God scared of those things? No. This is what he's saying. He's saying, these things don't fit your life. Do you see that? These things don't even fit into your life. Again, if I just read these as a list of rules and a list of laws, I will miss the heart of God. Don't drink poison.
Oh, why are you telling me not to drink poison? I should be able to drink poison if I want to drink poison.
No, it'll hurt you. I love you. I don't want you to get hurt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Man, he's trying to tell me not to drink poison.
I've had conversations with Colty. He was very kind. Sent me like a meal plan that he's working on. Like if I'm talking to Colty about health and wanting to get right, while drinking like a 2-liter Coke, like it just might not be the thing that's demonstrating that I have an understanding with what fits. Do you get this? Fornication, all uncleanness, filthiness, coarse jesting, foolish talking, they don't fit. They shouldn't even be in your pantry. They shouldn't even be mentioned among you. They don't belong. Do you get it? Are we together? Look at this. These things are reflective of something different than what we were made for. You got it? Let's try this. Abby, help out. Got it? Good. All right, so got it, get it, good. You got it? Get it, good. All right, so listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. We have to be established in this. These things. Look down in verse 8. He says, for you were once, were darkness. Say once. For you once were darkness. What does that once mean? Hey, there was a time when these things fit. There was a time when that was normal. But now you are light.
in the Lord. You once were darkness, but now you are light. Let's just try that again. Option A, option B. Have you ever been to the eye doctor recently? Okay. You see better now or now? Is it one or is it two? But what do you want to pick, right? I mean, you can do it that way, but you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. This is mediocre news, right? No, this is good news. Hey, these things that want to tag along, these things that are trying to grasp onto your life, they don't even fit. Don't even allow them to be mentioned among you. That's not what you were made for. That's not what you were created for. The world is dark, but you are light. Now, does God hate everybody in the world? Is he trying to build a lighthouse that we can all run into and everybody else just burns up? No, he's trying to release a different option for the world to see. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Hey, the world's dark. The world, those things belong in the world, but they don't belong in you. So let's just read this passage here. Let's read in verse 8. Let's read these few verses. For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. All right, you guys there? You guys, are you good? You understanding what we're saying here? Guys, this is important. I actually don't think it's going to take us much longer, but this is really important because this can be breakthrough for people this morning. This can cause us to walk in a place of like not thinking this way anymore, but breaking through that wall. See, Christ has already moved us. Colossians, I think it is, it says he's conveyed us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, of his love. He's already made that, but what happens is the enemy wants us to still think like the world. He wants us not to put off and put away, but he wants us to keep on thinking. And he's even okay if we're like, listen, I think the enemy actually gets a little bit of pleasure of you worshiping and me worshiping on Sunday and then struggling all week. Because how many of you had that experience? Like, Lord, I give you my heart. Man, I remember what I did on Tuesday. And that feels like defeat. So we have a heart that wants to say yes to Jesus, but if we are convinced that we'll never get through, right? Then that becomes discouraging after a while. How many of you ever heard the lie, oh, you'll always be this way? You'll never really get free. No, there's freedom that is here for us. And Paul lays out for four and a half chapters now, hey, I'm laying all this out for you so you can really walk in the light. So you are light. Now walk in the light. You are light. Walk in the light. That doesn't mean we never experience the things of darkness. That doesn't mean that. But what it means is there's a call that says, hey, this is who you are. Now walk like this. You once were dark. How many of you at one point in time were dark? Raise your hand. Right? You once were dark. Michael's like, no, raise your hand. Right? So, hey, you once, he just like, I really appreciate the desire for authenticity there. You once were darkness, even you, sweetheart. All right, you once were dark. Didn't mean to put you on blast like that. You once were dark, but now you are light, so walk in the light. Don't walk. Listen, do not maintain precious memories of darkness. Do not hold on and look fondly at your old family ties. I think one of the things that happens is sometimes we glory on the wrong side of the cross. We look at things that are more connected to darkness, and we can feel more connected and more alive in the things that are not the light of God. And so the enemy uses that because that is the scheme of the enemy to keep us from the best that he has for us. Man, the enemy can't change the fact. If you've said yes to him, the enemy can't change that. All he's trying to do now is trap you and keep you away from the goodness of God.
He's trying to keep you limited and locked into like something very, very subpar for what God has actually intended for you. So you were once darkness, now you are light. So walk in the light and divorce darkness. It says don't even fellowship with the works of darkness. So whatever you want to call it, break up, divorce, cut ties. Don't leave there be any space where you're holding on hope that maybe you'll get back together again. You know those little things we just like leave space? We just leave a little room. Guys, don't hear me. I'm not talking about rules today. I'm not talking about like, oh, let's make a big list of things that you have to do and a big list of things you can't do. I'm talking about choosing relationships. I know what it means to choose to grow deep with my wife. And I know what it means to just disconnect. It says, don't even leave room for disconnection. Divorce darkness. Does that make sense? Yes? You there? So divorce darkness and walk in the light. Now, how? How many of you want to know how? Yeah, sounds good. We're only $19.99, right? No. How do we do this now? How do we do this now? Well, there's a hint, and we're going to talk about it a little bit today, and then we're going to really lean into this next week, okay? But there's a hint. Look back up into verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Oh, that's easy. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. But we've got a problem, right? We've now got an issue. And I can see that Dan and I have the same issue. The issue is it's not going to move because the problems keep blinking. What is the problem, guys? What is the issue with that? The issue for me is I'm not very good at all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Does that make sense? But I don't have to be. It's the fruit of the Spirit. There's a fruit. What does the word fruit mean? Can you make fruit? Can you go build some fruit today? I can't build fruit. The root is the cause. The fruit is the consequence. The root is the cause. The fruit is the consequence. The root of what? The root of Brad? No. The root of trying? How many of you have tried the root of trying and you've reaped the fruit of disappointment? No, there's actually something he's telling us here as he's built for 4.5 chapters. He's actually saying, hey, this is not something that you can't imitate God by yourself. You can't love like Jesus on your own. Some of that's a shock to you. You're still trying to like figure it out. Some of it's a relief to you though, right? But here's the deal. The Spirit leads me to learn what is acceptable in the Lord. The Spirit leads me to a place where what is getting produced in my life is not the fruit of my striving. Come on, guys, lean in for just a few more minutes. Don't disconnect here. Lean in, because listen, it's not something that we can produce. I am miserable when I try to produce this on my own. I'm miserable when I, listen, sometimes people say nice things about me. I'm miserable whenever I try to live up to those nice things on my own. Sometimes I read what the Word of God says about Jesus. I'm hopeless to try to live up to those things on my own. I pick on Lindsay a lot. I don't pick on her. I just tell her a lot. I mean, she's like stunning. And the light of God just comes out of her. But I actually know that Lindsay is awesome. I respect her. I hold her in such high esteem. But in reality, Lindsay's not capable of producing that kind of light. That's surprising. Some of you are like, no, really? That's not true about her. Like, man, you meet someone who like stands out in holiness. No, it's still true. Even Lindsay. I remember I felt that way about Jesse when I met Jesse. Just see the shiny ones, you know? You just see the shiny, like, wow. You know what? Even Jesse, just believe this is truth, okay? Even Jesse is not capable of producing this on her own. I adore my daughter, and I found out my daughter has a sin nature. Yep, that's true. She's like, I raised my hand, Dad. I raised my hand. Even Abigail, even Papa's joy, Can't do this. So where's our hope? Our hope is in cultivating. Our hope is in not figuring out more of how we can fix it, but our hope is cultivating real relationship with Holy Spirit that brings light and life. We were talking in Summer in the Grove this week, and it was just a good reminder. It's really easy sometimes to like, hey, we just have a relationship with God, and that's all inclusive of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's true to an extent. But it's really interesting when you think about the things that God tells us about our relationship with Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Keep step for step for the Spirit. Hey, don't grieve the Spirit. Come here, Ray.
Everybody give it up for Ray.
How many of you were excited last week when Ray went for it whenever he was leading us in worship? That was just like, that was one of like the icing moments, and I feel like at our church family, it was just so good. Ray is here as a representation of the Holy Spirit. Are you up for that today?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
That's why we're white.
That's why you were white. That's right. My twin. That's right. Now here's the deal. If I treat Holy Spirit like he is unoffendable and like there's actually nothing that I do that affects him, then I can live my life however I want to and just say, oh, Holy Spirit, come, and I'm treating him more like a genie that I summon to come into my relationship whenever I want. Right? That's one way of treating Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, rub the lamp. Oh, here he comes. So no matter how far I seem to be drifting relationally from him, Holy Spirit, come. Got that? On the other hand, I can treat Holy Spirit in a way that's very passive. And like, well, he's just going to do what he's going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and he's perfect. His love's perfect for me. But I don't live with an understanding that there's a relationship to be formed. It says this, pray in the Spirit. Am I taking time to cultivate real relationship with Holy Spirit? We're in partnership with Holy Spirit. I'm praying. Listen, read Romans 8 if you want to know more about this. It actually tells us, Romans 8 is a really beautiful picture of intercession. It's a picture of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned together in the context of intercession in Romans 8. But if I'm over here trying to pray, oh God, I'm here to pray, and I'm leaving Holy Spirit out, I'm not understanding there's a dynamic, real relationship that I'm called to cultivate. How many of you know better? I will pray better with the Holy Spirit than I will on my own. But yet somehow it's normal for me not to pray in and with the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. Another thing Holy Spirit, it says about Holy Spirit, it says to walk with the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, hey, you know where my house is at? All right, I'll meet you at my house. All right. You go that way. I go this way. That's not walking with the Spirit. Listen, walking in the Spirit is not about the destination that you end up in. Who's calling me? Rejected. Do you get what I'm saying? Hey, walking with the Holy Spirit is not about the destination. Are you with me? Some of you are still on the phone call. I can see. Listen, you have a miserable marriage if it's all about just being at the same place at the end. Walking with the Holy Spirit is about a journey that we were meant to be on together. And that is in Galatians chapter 5 at the beginning of that passage. But if you want to know more, it says, hey, that's not even enough. It says, keep step for step with the Spirit. It's not about just ending up at the same place. It's actually about staying together in the journey. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If I treat my relationship with Holy Spirit like there's nothing that I can do that will negatively influence that, I'm not understanding the real heart of God for me to walk in relationship with him. It actually says there's something I can do to quench the Holy Spirit. Move away from me. Just go sit back down. That does not really line up with a static, passive understanding of a relationship with God. There's actually something where he wants me to walk with him and build relationship with him in a way that's living and moving and active. Does that make sense? So guys, we got to come back here. And we have to hear the next thing it says is light exposes darkness. Problem is, I don't want darkness to be exposed. Anybody raise your hand on that one? I mean, let's just, you know what? I'll raise my hand for all of us. Okay? We don't even, I don't want to have a severed relationship with the Holy Spirit, but light exposes darkness when it says, hey, don't, it says divorce darkness and don't have fellowship with it, but rather expose it. You know, I grew up thinking like that means if I see something bad in Katie, I should say, and shine the light on her. I don't think that's what it's talking about. I mean, I think it's like shine the light in me. Does that make sense? Yes? Are we still together? Light exposes darkness. What do I need to do? I need to embrace the light. If relationship, if there's actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit that's going to lead me into freedom, then what I have to do is choose Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We're going to talk about this more next week. We're going to talk about what that looks like. But I just want to review here that like what I'm asking for this week, what I'm praying for in my life, I mean, I just recognize. Man, if I move into a place of passivity for a moment, the enemy will try to make me comfortable hanging out with my ex. Does that make sense? If I'm comfortable hanging out with one that I've divorced, it's not going to lead to good connection with my current wife, right? I took a picture of Katie's tattoo. She has Ephesians 5:8 on her bicep. You were once darkness, say once, but now you are light. So walk as children of the light. I remember a day that Sean was sitting here in Summer in the Grove. Some of you were here. Sean was sitting here in Summer in the Grove, and he was just struggling big time. Sean, you are light. No. Dan, you were here for that day. We actually had a divorce ceremony. Sean, will you divorce darkness? He'll be in a bad mood. Sean, you are light. Because I say, whenever we say you are light, he has to say walk in the light. How many of you, there are days that don't feel like light? But you are. Whether you feel like it or not. So when you don't feel like it, that's the time to make sure that you look at your divorce certificate. See, you've actually been made death. If the work of the cross is for us, one of the things that Georgian talks about is like, if you believe that you have to wait till you die to get freedom from sin, then death is actually more powerful than the cross. And death is your savior instead of Jesus. If death is what will set you free from darkness, then Jesus is not the one that sets us free. Death is. That means when you stop dying, that's when you're free. That's a lie. So what I'm saying is, hey, can we get some momentum based on these therefores, and we say, no, I'm not going to walk in a shadow anymore. I'm not going to walk allowing something that's not truth to be the thing that shapes my life. I'm going to use the momentum of walking worthy. I'm going to use the momentum of saying, I'm not going to think like the world anymore. I'm going to use the momentum of the hope that comes from the fact that I can think like Jesus. I'm going to use the momentum of the fact that I've been called by the Spirit to imitate God and love like Jesus loves. And I'm going to break through that lie. And guys, I'm going to tell you, if you can get the truth of God behind you, that wall that has felt like it has you had you trapped your whole life will feel like a piece of wet paper. It is not actually that powerful. It's just when we believe things aren't true, it keeps us in shackles that have already been cut, right? So here's what I'm asking for us to do this week. Is let's remember that individually, there is freedom for us. Collectively, there's a promise that there's a church that's going to look like the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Don't lose that. Because it's really easy for me sometimes just to think, yeah, I suck sometimes, and I'm just going to always suck sometimes. I saw a t-shirt yesterday at the picnic. It said on the back, without Jesus, I suck. But you know what? I'm not without Jesus. And I never will be again. Is that cool? Is that good? So there's a promise we're holding on to collectively. Individually, you're light. Walk. So you are light. Let's try that again. You are light. Walk in the light. So here's our assignment this week for those of you who are connected into the True North groups, into our simple churches. Let's read Ephesians 5, 1 to 22, and let's really lean in and ask the Lord, what does it look like? Let's ask Holy Spirit for wisdom. What does it look like to do these things together? Embrace light and expose darkness. Now, let me back up for just a second. If you get focused on exposing darkness without embracing light, you're going to be frustrated. Because darkness doesn't expose darkness. Paul actually says here, and this is really meaningful. He actually says, you got to understand anything that reveals darkness is light. So what that taught me, and remember when I learned this, is I was trying to figure out how to keep my stuff from getting exposed. And actually, instead, if I can just thank God for light, and I can choose to put light into areas, he actually brings, guys, how many of you ever experienced the relief that comes? Man, if I got to work hard to maintain darkness, it's just not a good thing. Does that make sense? Man, let stuff come into the light. Okay, so what we're doing together this week, Ephesians 5, 1 to actually 21, ask Holy Spirit for wisdom about how to embrace light and expose darkness. All right, stand up with me, and we're going to pray. And if you have a need specifically today, I want to make sure we make time to pray for you. Michael, whenever you're done doing whatever you're doing, could you come? Is your guitar still here or you pack it already? Can you get it? Yeah. I just want to make space this morning. You know, just close your eyes for a second. I'm not trying to have some crazy altar call, but I did feel like today, like I just want to tell you about Sean's experience or Katie's tattoo. Like this is something that we have to like be reminded of, I think, regularly. Man, we're not here to learn about the Bible so we can get smarter. There's just an invitation, and I just believe this with all my heart, that the life that Jesus has for you is the best option that you've got. You know, sometimes we can be deceived. We didn't talk about it today, but sometimes we can be deceived that, man, a life that I can create for myself is worth living. I just feel like for most of us in the room, we recognize we're far from that. Maybe there's someone out there that can pull it off in a way that seems reasonable, but for me, I just recognize that what Jesus has to offer me is by far my best option. Here's what the gospel says, that when we were dead in our sin, like think about it, guys. He didn't wait to see what we were going to choose before he made a sacrifice. It says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I was still flipping him off, when I was still choosing my selfishness, I'm not going to pretend, because I know some of you have been honest enough with me. I know your story. We've all sinned, but for some of you, like you've been hurt pretty bad yourself. You've had things, people do things to you. You've had circumstances happen. It can just be really easy to think like, well, why should I walk with God? Why should I like try to walk in freedom when I don't even know if I can trust him? That's a good question. I wish I had an easy answer. But I'm just here to tell you that if scripture is true, and it is, and if he is who scripture says that he is, his love to you is perfect. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life that you may have it more abundantly. What I'm saying to you is on the other side of this paper wall that the enemy has used, it's a facade. Anything that makes you feel trapped in a shadow, anything that makes you feel trapped in darkness, anything that makes you feel, anything that allows anxiety or fear or stress to feel more real than the love of God is a shadow. And it's a fraud. So I just want to take space and pray this morning and make space for you to pray this morning. Are you willing to break up with a lover that's unfaithful and abusive? Are you willing to have cut off fellowship with darkness, to divorce darkness? And say, my best shot is the fruit of the Spirit. My best shot is not something I can do in my own. So if that's where you're at today, and whether like you've done that before or not, I just want us to pray. I'm not trying to pray for you. I just want to lead you in a prayer. You put it in your own words. But just pray together with me. God, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your truth. Anything that I am not seeing clearly, anything that I'm straining to see in the shadow, anything I'm straining to see in the darkness, today I let go of my need to hold on to darkness. I let go of the lies that I will be safer if I'm in control. And today, I divorce darkness. And I choose to walk into the light as a child of the light. I choose to allow Jesus. Guys, again, if you've been born again for years, I still just pray this prayer. I choose to allow the righteousness of Jesus to become my reality. I say yes to allowing him to become my sin so I can become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that the place, and I just sense different people in different places. I know I am. Guys, I'm in a place right now where I just want, guys, this is not just some static thing. I want the yes in my heart today to be more clear than it was last week, to be more clear than it was 3 months ago. I want the yes in my heart for Jesus, the yes in my heart to be determined to say there is no darkness in him. And so I don't want to be comfortable with there being any place where I am allowing that to be comfortable in me. So God, now I ask in the name of Jesus, what we talked about is the how. God, I pray that you would give hope and you would give life, that a relationship with Holy Spirit would not seem distant. Again, I'm not trying to do some like dramatic altar call thing. I'm just wanting to like give people space and honor them. So if you just like close your eyes just for a second, but I just want to invite you. If you feel like you want to grow in your relationship with Holy Spirit, just put your hands on your heart and begin to pray in words that are real for you. Holy Spirit, I don't want to treat you like you're some faraway being. I want to walk step for step with you. I want to know you. I don't want to be afraid of you. I just bless some of you. You've been like, you've had experiences. You've almost been trained to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Son of his love. That's what Galatians 4 says the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of the Son of his love coming deep in your heart, teaching you how to say daddy. So God, I just pray for a fresh baptism of love and fire as your Holy Spirit comes. Can you just take just a minute and you just like pray? Just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come breathe.